This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In this day and age, dreaming of running away to join the circus might be a little, well, cliché or passé. But there are those who still do it, and storyteller Kevin Kling not only dreamt about it, he ran.
I'm standing down by the Mississippi River in Minneapolis. 20 years ago, this summer, I ran away to the circus, toward the marvelous adventure that awaited anyone who answered the newspaper ad for auditions. What was promised was 6 months, creating a circus and performing in towns down the Mississippi River from Brainerd, Minnesota to New Orleans. What it foretold was adventure, lazy days and hanging out with river folk, and the wild and romantic life of a circus performer. I called the number. I'd like to audition. All right. Are there animals? I asked. No animals. We're not that kind of circus. It's more like a puppet circus, the man said. Okay. Well, do we live on the boat? No boats. We have buses. We're looking for a boat. Oh. The pay is $25 a week. Oh. Okay. We will provide housing, tents mostly. Oh. And food, all you can eat. Say no more, I'm there. This is better than I hoped. At the audition, I told them I could puppeteer, walk stilts, play the baritone horn, and they were thrilled. I left confident enough to quit my job at the Chow Mein Noodle Factory, find a horn, and someone to teach me how to walk on stilts. And that's how I became part of the Heart of the Beast Puppet and Mask Theater Company and the Circle of Water Circus. One morning in May, we all met in a church to move supplies to a farm outside of Alma, Wisconsin. There we would build the circus. I looked about the room at my fellow performers. They looked like people from another time. Hippies, we'd call them. I thought the last one had died of the disco fever in 1978, but here they were, probably the largest gathering of their kind. Except for one man, dressed in a suit on a hot day. He sat directly across from me, smoking, hunched over with his type A legs shaking violently. I wondered, does he have to come? I mean, the hippies are one thing, but this man kind of scares me. I discovered he was married to the trombone player, who seemed very kind. Maybe she knew how to calm him with kind words or a song or a cookie if he got agitated. We spent the morning loading gear, and then we had our first meal. Out came what I call the terrible teas, tofu, tahini, tabbouleh, tamari, and when we were finished, I was starved. What is this, a vegetarian circus? Oh my God, we'll die. We got started loading equipment, and I noticed the man with the shaky leg was loading on a Weber barbecue grill. Oh, thank God. I imagined he was going to cook up barbecue along the river. Pork shoulders, seasoned ribs, steaks and chops and brats. He turned to me and said, "Just in case we see any wild monkey." I didn't care. I realized I would have to befriend that scary man. And I did. On the farm. During the day, we'd build puppets and rehearse the show. At night, we took bike rides to the local tavern to try to stretch our $25. It was after one night at the tavern that the shaky-legged man and I found ourselves walking along the dirt road back to the farm. He told me that he and his wife, the trombone player, were expecting a baby, and they were going to name her Alma if it was a girl, after the town in Wisconsin. Actually, her name would be Alma Marina, taken from the beautiful waters and the high bluffs. He hoped they would have a girl, because if it was a boy, he would be called Nelson Cheese Factory in honor of the local industry. One day it was announced we had a boat. Well, sort of. It was a houseboat from Lake Minnetonka, and there was some question as to its seaworthiness. Navigating a lake is one thing, but currents and eddies and barge traffic is another. One solution was we could hire a captain, and that would reduce the risk. We put it to a vote and narrowly agreed to hire a captain and buy the houseboat. Those of us who voted for the boat would be reminded of this night time and again. We celebrated that night by firing up the Weber. 30 brats hit the flames, and 30 brats were gone. Somewhat of a miracle, considering there were only 4 acclaimed meat-eaters. I think the bacchanalian frenzy there was some backsliding, but who could blame them with the news of the boat? Then Captain Lin arrived shortly. Captain Lin, rough and tough, hard as nails, Vietnam vet. Every other word was something like my grandpa said when the tractor fell on his toe. This swabby could get us through, no doubt. We got the houseboat, and before we left, he said he'd hope it'd be no inconvenience, but during the trip he would be making the change from a man to a woman. He'd never felt comfortable as a man, and he decided to make the change. I knew I started to love this group when no one batted an eye. Fine with us, let's hit the river. We performed in Brainerd, St. Cloud, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Clinton, Iowa. Every couple of weeks, Captain Lynn would head back to the cities for counseling or injections or charm school. Charm school was the worst because for a week he wouldn't open a door for himself or steer the boat. They turned him into a 1950s starlet, and we had barges and eddies. One foggy night, Captain Lynn was creeping us down the river, and we heard a low horn. "What?" "Good Lord," he said, "that's a barge. Try and see it." But the fog was too thick. Then we heard it again. "What?" "Go up on top," he says, "and see if you see anything." I scrambled to the top to find a musician practicing the bass clarinet horn. I told Captain Lynn it was a guy practicing his horn, and Captain Lynn opened his mouth and a few $100 worth of charm school flew out the window. When we hit St. Louis, we found a great surprise awaiting us. Jacques Cousteau was there filming a special on the Mississippi. Man, I wanted to meet him. There was his boat, the Calypso, bowsprit with a beautiful mermaid leading the way. Our boat had deteriorated quite badly. Someone needed to constantly bail, and the engine was acting up. We spruced it up as best we could, and we got some paint and wrote Calypso on the side in huge letters. And I got a woman's bowling trophy from a thrift store, and we lashed her out front as our bowsprit. Jacques Cousteau was not amused. We tried to meet him several times, but were informed he had wine tastings and research that took precedence. And I was bummed. I wanted to meet the man, the inventor of the aqualung and French voiceovers. Not long after that, poor Calypso sank, and Captain Lynn went back to Minneapolis for his operation to become Linda. And now we were in buses. I started to lose it. Now, we all had meltdowns. Sooner or later, everyone lost it on the trip, and this was mine. I decided I was quitting. I'd had $5 on me, so I went to the Greyhound bus station and started to plead to let me ride, pleading like they were the American consulate. Let me on this bus. If you just let me on, I can't go back. I can't go back to lettuce sandwiches. Then I saw the trombone player in the station. In her hand was a spare rib, meat with sauce. It looked incredible. Linked to her arm was the man with the shaky leg, her husband, and then a friend who was visiting from Milwaukee. He had treated them to a rib dinner, and when they'd heard I'd made my break, they came looking for me with bait. They handed me the rib, and I took a bite. Oh, unbelievable. Ambrosia. And then I noticed she had another one. I didn't notice we were walking towards the car, and by the time I finished my third rib, I was snuggled in my tent. We finally did make it to New Orleans, and the show was well received, and I met a group of lifelong friends, family now, really. I'll never look at this river the same. Every time I cross it, I have a feeling for its power and its beauty. That said, one day I will get that trombone player and old shaky legs for tricking me with that rib.
Storyteller Kevin Kling lives in Minnesota. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.